So hello, everybody, and welcome to our insulin resistance support call. I'm excited to have you guys here and to answer whatever questions you have, and also to hear some successes if you've been applying this either to yourself or to clients or family members. What have you found? What have you found confusing? What have you found really helpful? And how can I support you? So if you're going through like week at a time, we should be around week four, which would be stress, I believe, the stress management, but everybody's doing it kind of at their own pace. So if you want to type in the chat and let me know what you're working on, that would be helpful. And that way I know what you have so far. If you ask a question that's in the materials, it may not be, it's something you've gotten to yet. And I can easily let you know that. So just type in the chat and let me know what you're working on and whether you have questions. Last time people asked, well, if I can't make it to the call, is there a place where I could put questions in advance? Or even if I can, and I think of them as I go along. So I have a link to give you, and we'll add this to the call reminder emails, but take a note of it now and just, you know, put it somewhere. So if you can't make it to the call or you're thinking of something and you don't want to forget your question by the time we get here, who's ever had that happen? Oh, you have all these questions and then you didn't write them down and you show up and you go, what was that question? Right? You think you're going to remember. We all think we're going to remember. Like, what did you have for lunch yesterday? I have no idea. That was yesterday. I don't remember, but you think you're going to, right? So let me give you that link. I'll put it here in the chat. It's just our general, I didn't realize we even had it, or I would have put it in there. It's a general RSVP / question thing for you that we have for other programs as well. So you'll just check on there which program you're in. So you'll say IRSPT. If you're in more than one, you can do more than one. There you go. So that form, and I'll make sure I put that in the emails. That I'm going to make myself a note of that. RSPT. So who of you is coming to Shine Online?
I'm coming.
Yay. We've got a lot of people signed up and I'm super excited. A little nervous about it because it's only 4 or 5 days away and you're always like, make sure everything goes right, make sure all the materials are right, make sure everybody on the team knows what they're supposed to be doing. It's a big deal to do a 2-day live event, as you might know. We've done them before, but not for practitioners. All of our practitioner events have been in person. And for a number of, well, obvious, for a number of reasons we're doing this now, it actually has nothing to do with COVID because we had this planned long in advance. We had decided last year at Shine, oh, wouldn't it be nice to do this twice a year? And everybody went, what are you, nuts? Like, we used to do live events twice a year and there's a lot of work involved. And I thought, what if we did it online? So what if we did one in the earlier part of the year online and then one in the fall? And we had this planned and we had the topic planned too in advance. So go figure, right? We kind of had a premonition or whatever that this would be a good topic. So we are going to do it. We are planning to do our in-person, which you guys all get a ticket to, in-person in October. We have the dates, but you know, it's getting iffy, right? So we're not sure if there's going to be rules that say you can't gather with more than 10 people in a room, in which case it's not going to work because we already have over 30 signed up for it. If we cannot do it live in October, we will be moving it to next spring. And, you know, probably the May, June time period is what we would target for. And we will do that one online as well. So no worries if we can't, and if you've already signed up and done a VIP ticket where you're going to get meals, we'll just credit that to the following. And then, you know, we'll be able to do it, whatever. We all have to be flexible, right? That's the thing in life. And that's, I believe one of the best things you can teach your clients is how to go with the flow, because a lot of your folks, they're in trouble because they haven't learned that. They're stress bunnies. And we're going to go through and Shine Online this weekend some of the things that affect the immune system, genetic tendencies people have, or early on, you know, things that you can actually look for in labs, but that aren't related to the immune system per se or the nutrients, but are related to the stress tendencies and the tendencies to be this high anxiety person. And it's really important that we learn to teach people flexibility. And what one of the things you're going to see, and I see this all the time in sweet spot folks, is people want to be perfect. And you've told them, well, test every 15 minutes and make sure this did that. And they're like, but it went to 112. Is that a problem? Like, but you know, calm down. Let's just relax. Oh, I went to this party and I ate at 9 o'clock and I went to bed at 11. Do I mean I have to start my metabolic reset all over again? Literally, right? So it's different personality types. Some of you may be that, and I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because you can tend to be like, I got to get it perfect. Yeah. I've let go of a lot of that. You see that, Jessica? Yeah.
Oh my God, constantly. Yeah.
You see it all the time.
No, I'm just glad you're mentioning it. I want to just appreciate you for mentioning this stuff because it's so, so core for so many people and it's so disordered, and that I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you mentioning these things. I really like go from my bottom of my heart, all this stuff around stress and its impact. And I really thank you so much. Yeah.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah. Well, that's what my experience. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And I see people, right? And you know, it's not always their food. I'm eating this perfect food and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing burst 5 times a day. Why is there a problem?
Oh God. Like,
yeah. Do you want me to play back a recording of what you just said to me? And this is your problem, right? Sympathetic overdrive, right? Yeah. Sympathetic overdrive is the core of just about every disease out there. Yeah. And unfortunately, our mainstream media contributes to it because
it becomes like an addiction.
It's an addiction. You want to know, and you want to know all the bad things that are happening all over the world so that you can worry about it. Right. And that's bad, right? In the olden days, people only knew what happened in their village and, you know, whoever can get from horseback close enough to tell them, and usually it'd be days before you'd hear about a fire in the next village or whatever. We're hearing about every bad thing that happens all over the world instantaneously, and social media is bad. And everybody's got their story about it. Everybody's got their story about the they that's out there that's out to get us.
Yeah.
And for each person that mentions this, they are trying to take our rights away. They are trying to do this. They are trying to do that. Like, who's the they? They all have a different they, right? So there's this something out there. Maybe it's the devil, right? Who's out there overseeing this whole thing and wants us to be miserable. And people, really, they take it internally. And there are different genetics that are more prone to that. Yeah. I mean, we can actually look at some of the genetics. Yeah. I can usually predict their genetics just by their behavior with me.
Amazing.
You go, you got this, you got this, you got this. And then I look and go, yep, you got it, right? And as somebody with some of those genetics, and as someone with a family who is loaded with those genetics, where family members of many, if not most, are on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, I've had to learn strategies to take myself off the ledge. Now they're somewhat automatic. I will still get on the ledge sometimes, but it's somewhat automatic that I can pull myself down from the ledge so it doesn't kill my body. And that's what we want to be able to help people with. It's not just about the food. That's why we have 5 areas. And I will tell you, last week on the sweet spot call, for anybody that was on that, I said, of all of you out there, you know, I talked about stress and maybe in the week before. And I said, here's the thing. I want to know how many of you are doing the heart math technique I taught you or something like that. Mindfulness breaks 5 times a day. 3 people. You guys are doing it, right? 3 people. That was all that said it, right? And that's important.
There's something not clicking though, that people aren't getting, like, just how crucial it is, because I have the same experience in a group I'm leading or facilitating, whatever, around the same thing. I'm like, there's something where they're not getting, like, the way it dictates so much of every, because it's so ingrained for so long that that's okay, that it just doesn't click.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's ingrained, it's been taught, it's out there, right? Everything's about get scared now. So if they're not scared, they don't know what to do. And yeah, there are some folks who are doing that, embracing it, and you see major differences. I see people who I just teach that to, and they lose weight without even changing their diet.
Yeah, I had the same thing.
It makes a difference.
Yeah.
All right. So right now, let's all just take the 30 seconds that it can take and focus on your heart. You can put your hands there or not. And focus on your breathing. And take a long, slow, deep breath. Focusing on your heart. Focusing on something you appreciate. An event that took place in your life. Something in the room around you. The fact that you have a roof over your head and food in your refrigerator is just a fine start. We all have things to appreciate. So just take a moment, take some deep breaths, do the appreciation, and then come back. And none of you want to come back. It feels so good. Right? I'm seeing all of you just staying there because it feels so good. And it, when you feel the difference that it makes so quickly, you go, why don't I just do this all day? And I tell people to make little heart stickers, right? You can even buy sticky notes that are in the shape of hearts and just pop them all around. And every time you see a heart, you go, one breath. Set your timer. Everybody has a smartphone almost, right? Set a timer that goes off once an hour. And when it goes off, even if you're in the middle of talking to somebody, you can still stop. You don't have to put your hand on the heart. You don't have to close your eyes. You can just stop and go and notice. And when I first started teaching this, I remember it was a one-on-one, two-on-one conversation. I was having a conversation with two people and I was explaining this process. And this one person, and I felt myself getting, you know, and I just took a second without even thinking of it. And this one person said to me, what did you just do? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, she reads energy. She goes, your energy field just shifted 100%. I said, well, I did what HeartMath calls quick coherence. I did a breath and I went into appreciation. That's how significant it is. That's how much it changes. And I know people who master this and they will literally drop their blood sugar by 20 points. It may not be in one breath. It may take five. It may take 2 minutes, but they will watch their breath, their blood sugar drop. So really, really important that we all get into this. And right now people are scared. You know, there's the people who are the, this is a fake, blah, 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 the conspiracy's out to get us. Then there's the people who, oh my God, this virus is deadly, it's gonna kill me. I don't know who's right. Who cares who's right? What's important is how you respond. You're never gonna change out there. You can only change in here. And the more you can take the time to teach this to your clients, the quicker results they're gonna have. So I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but
because it's so vital for all of this. That's why you got off on that tangent, because it's everything. It's under the underbelly of so much.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. So yeah, I'm excited to have you guys here. I'm excited that you're going to come this weekend. Oh, I started saying how it's stressful and I have to keep stopping myself. And, you know, I want it to be right. There's 450 people registered. I want it to be right. Right. And so, you know, but I have to keep stopping myself and go, you know what they need. Yeah, your slides will be done in time. Yeah, all the handouts. And I keep finding more and more handouts to put in there and more checklists and things that you can use immediately with your clients. But I just want it to be right. And I thought that's what our clients go through. You know, whether it's a mom wanting to make sure she does the right thing for her kid, or a teacher wanting to teach the right things to the kid, or just somebody who just has that tendency and need to be perfect at every turn. And we don't have to be perfect. We are all perfect just the way we are. And we just learn more to make ourselves more perfect and more perfect. Or we could take the other stand and go, there's no such thing as perfect. There's no such thing as perfectionism. So stop trying. Do your best in every moment to connect with people from the heart and to do your absolute best. Always, that's the biggest thing. And in my 5-step thing, which I'll share. Probably some of you have seen before, but it's like five steps to getting great results with people. Number one is connect. It's the very first job you have is to connect with that person, right? Whether you're sitting across from them in an office, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's on the telephone, is to connect. connect with them, their heart, their energy, and see them for the magnificence they are, even if they don't yet. Number two is then assess. That's where all those questions come in. And we'll talk about more about that at Shine Online as well. But the right questions asked in the way that they just open up. And sometimes it's a simple question that suddenly they're telling you something they never told anybody before. And you've got a key, a linchpin for why they've been so unhealthy in spite of the fact that they're eating organic whole foods on a daily basis, right? And then number three, connect is, what's my third one? Obstacles, plan, right? Then you work with them with a plan, right? How are you going to help them? This applies to what you're learning here in IRSPC. How do you help them? For some people, it's like you just give them this long list of stuff and they just do it. For other people, it's one piece at a time. And your job in connecting and assessing is to determine how this person is best going to hear a plan. Maybe you give them a plan. This is what we're going to go through. And we're going to go through this slowly. And now you have here step one. Some people need to see that whole plan. That's fine. But I have gone through people's notes after, you know, they're doing their internships or whatever in NEPT. And I'm looking at some of the notes. I'm like, you gave this to the person after the first visit? And how did the person react? Oh, she was a little overwhelmed. Like a 2-page list of supplements and diet. And you can't do that to people. Oh. Unless there are certain people you can. They feel empowered. It's this many. Yeah, it's this many, right? But that's what we need to learn is what does that plan include? Sometimes you give them the big picture overview and say, okay, now this week is all I want you to focus on. So what we did this time going through Sweet Spot, and it might be a little confusing to you guys because we gave you access to last year's Sweet Spot, which has everything and it's connected to the, but we also gave you, here's how we're doing this year. And you can see it was much more, this week you're going to measure your glucose. Don't change your diet. Just eat whatever you've been eating and let's see what it's doing. Now we're going to look for your peak. And we set them up before we gave them, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat the next thing, because that's overwhelming for somebody, right? Here's some things to include. Here's some extra stuff. Here's some supplement. So we took it step by step. And even then, most people say, wow, that was great. Some people are still saying it was too much and I'm behind. That's great. If you work with somebody one-on-one and do this stuff, you work at their own pace, right? And if you sell them a bundle of services for 3 months and they're not where you want them to be at the end of 3 months, that's not something you take on and say, oh my God, I'm not good enough because they are still having, you know, blood sugar things and they're still eating, you know, bread every meal. Like then it's like looking back. So you work with people and say, okay, here's where you were. Here's where you are. That's what I'm doing now with these Sweet Spot folks. Here's where you were. Redo these assessments. Look, oh wow, you did lose 2.5 pounds. That's awesome. Let's celebrate it. You're stuck here. Okay, why? Let's look deeper. Right? It's always a matter of what is it right in this moment that's holding them back. Because sometimes it's just, it's a thought. It's an attitude. Like, I've only been doing this for 6 weeks and I've only lost 2.5 pounds. And I go, wow, congratulations. You've been stuck at your other weight for 2 years. You lost 2.5 pounds. We've unlocked something, but not everything. What do we do next? What are the pieces that are missing? And I always take them back to questions about those 5 areas. Always take them back to that. And inevitably, I will say 9 times out of 10, and oh, tell me about how you're doing with your mindfulness breaks and your heart math, or do you do meditation? Yeah, I do it occasionally. Well, how often are you doing that? Oh, a couple of times a week. Ah, okay. Or yeah, I like that idea of the burst training, but I don't do it. Right? I do one a day or whatever. So you're looking at not judging them on what they're doing, but looking at what they're doing so you can help them to see, okay, what's our next step? What's our next plan? And maybe you send them away, even though they've been working with you for 6 weeks. And you said, this week, the only thing I want you to focus on is doing these breaks 5 times a day. Just before each meal, stop, appreciate your food. Get your body in parasympathetic. How can you digest in sympathetic? You can't digest in sympathetic mode. You cannot digest that food adequately if you're sitting watching the news and going, yeah, you can't do it, right? The food doesn't digest well, which creates all kinds of issues. So it's really learning to look deeply and understand where they're at, treat them with love and compassion and kindness, because they may not be treating themselves with kindness. And you're the only person that's treating them with kindness. And you teach them, and you teach them, and you teach them. So that's all I have to say for that. And I'm here for whatever questions you guys have.
Dr. Rae-Marie, did you say there were 5 steps or 3 steps that I missed the last two?
Oh, yeah, the last two I didn't, is 5. Remove the obstacles. Hmm. So create a plan, and then you help them one by one remove the obstacles. Whatever you think is the hot top obstacle, you start with. Maybe they're not chewing their food. Maybe they're not drinking enough water. And that seems like, I can't just tell them that. They just paid me $150 and all I did was tell them to chew their food and drink their water. You can. You can reinforce why that's so important. You can reinforce that is sabotaging all the other steps they're taking. Because if they don't do those basic things, they can't do the rest. Ronnie?
I cannot tell you how many times I have just told patients to like take the time to chew their food, put their fork or spoon down between every bite, and they've come back to me like 10 days to 2 weeks later, like, I didn't believe that would work. Oh my gosh, it made such a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So some of you might be not as far along that you have patients yet, or that you're just studying and go, I can't help people yet because I don't know enough. You do. Do you know how to tell them to drink water and chew their food? Do you know that how to tell them to take a big deep breath and appreciate their food? The old fashioned religious practice of grace before meals, it has physiologic benefits, whether you're religious or not, right? So little things like that, you are like many steps ahead of many people out there. Maybe you're not ready to take on somebody who's been to every naturopath, acupuncturist, chiropractor, functional doctor in the world, and they go, can you help me? But you know what? There's a good chance that you can, because they may not have gone back down to those basics. And I've seen it. I'm like, didn't anybody tell you that? Didn't anybody ever tell? No. They just read my labs and told me I needed ashwagandha. Well, part of the getting your adrenals healed is taking the stress off, you know, putting the fire out that's in the trash can before it burns the house down, right? And these are the things. So don't underestimate your power, especially, you know, if you do get people in and you go through those first couple of steps and you go, this is way beyond my capability. Find someone you can send them to that you trust. But give them some of those basic things, because if they're not doing those basic things, that could be the reason that their $250 every month worth of supplements isn't working.
Right.
And their organic food and their meditation practice or whatever. If they're not doing some of these simple things, I have had some of the most stressed out people have been yoga teachers. I meditate every morning and I do my yoga. And then throughout the day, they're a basket case. Bring your yoga and your meditation into every moment. Every moment. I had to teach a class once called The Yoga of Eating. And I had volunteered. I went to this festival. By the time I got to meet them, they'd already had their slots filled. They said, look, if anybody cancels out during the event, would you be on call to speak? And I'm like, sure. No, I always say yes. I always say yes. I'm like, what if they ask me to teach something I know nothing about? So the very first day they find me and they go, the person that's supposed to teach at 6 o'clock is not going to be able to make it. Okay. What are they teaching? The yoga of eating. I'm like, whoa, the yoga. First I was like, what the heck am I going to? Then I thought, wait a minute. I don't know what they were going to teach. Maybe they were going to teach specific yoga practices and positions to get into while you're. I said, I talked about this. I talked about parasympathetic versus sympathetic. I talked about the fact that yoga takes us from sympathetic to parasympathetic, and that's where we need to be to eat. And I talked about putting your fork down, like Ron, just put your fork down between each, take a breath between each, appreciate your food. They loved it. So now I have a new talk that I did on the fly called The Yoga of Eating. Right? The reason I was able to do that is because I was able to take myself from that, oh my God, how can I do this? What am I going to say? To what do I know? And how does it relate to that topic? And when you can get them to take those breaths, they switch their functioning in their brain from limbic system, alligator brain, lizard brain, up to high-level functioning, prefrontal cortex. And it's a known function of cortisol to dim down prefrontal cortex and activate the limbic system, the lizard brain. And so all you can do, and I've seen it in action, I've had myself be on a webinar with 500 people, and suddenly my technology isn't working. I go, oh my God, what am I going to do? And then taking my breath, allowed my free prefrontal cortex to take over and go, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, and gotten out of it, fixed it. Because I gave myself permission to access that part of my brain that could solve the problem. Is this all making sense? Yeah. Is this helpful?
So you said the cortisol, when it's activated, that it shuts off the limbic system?
No. It activates limbic.
Activates limbic system.
It turns off prefrontal cortex. Highest level functioning.
It turns it off, but then people who are in a constant state of chronic cortisol overload, they're not even able to access, from my experience anyways, even intuition isn't even accessible because it's like—
Not intuition, survival. So maybe not limbic, maybe it's just the brainstem, just that lizard brain. What does lizard know how to do? Fight or flight.
Right, survive on the base.
Survive, right? It just activates survival. Because that's what's so important. Yeah. If somebody's stopping in as they're trying to run away from a tiger, they're thinking about the physics problem that they hadn't solved yet. They're dead, they're toast, right?
So it's only—
Turns off appetite too, shuts down all the valves in all the different spots in the digestive tract, right? So, because why? We don't want to have activated digestion when we need it in the limbs. We need to be able to punch and fight and climb trees and run. And so it's normal. It's survival. But we can't be in that 24/7. And so many people are in it 24/7. And they have chronic blood sugar imbalances because what does cortisol do? What do you need to escape from tigers? What do you need? You need sugar, energy, right? So it breaks down energy stores. And for whatever reason, I don't know the exact physiologic mechanism, someday I'll figure it out. Cortisol tends to go for protein rather than straight to glycogen. There must be something in that mechanism that's quicker to break down your protein, branched chain amino acids turn into glucose. And if you ever notice people are in chronic stress and as they start to go through age, like menopause or men in that same age range, you start to see like skinny legs and big bellies. Because then cortisol takes that sugar, puts it in the blood, but we're not running away from a real tiger. We're sitting at the desk. And so then it gets stored back as fat. And preferentially, this is protection fat, right? If a tiger comes to bite you, and you have a big wad of fat covering your vital organs, you're more likely to survive. So survival fat here, stress fat gets put here. So it's a vicious cycle, and that's where we have to help people break it, right? So it's a critical, critical piece of the program.
All right. Dr. Rita Marie, somebody's asking a question regarding the five steps. I had connect, assess, number three, plan. Number four, removal obstacles. And what was the last one? I'm going to type it in the chat.
Reassess.
Oh, yes.
This is the one that almost everybody misses. When I see people have been to like the naturopath or the whatever functional doctor, and they had this adrenal stress test done 3 years ago, and I go, oh, great. And I went on ashwagandha and I did this and I did that. And now I'm still having problems. Okay, so what did the reassess show? What happened after 3 or 4 months when you went back and did the test again? Oh, they never did that. So many don't go back and reassess. I don't know about you, but I'm not clairvoyant. I'm not God. And I don't know that when I come up with the plan, that plan is going to take them from where they are to where they need to be. The only way I know is if I redo the test. So if I test them and I put them on a plan because they're in stage 3 adrenal fatigue, if that really exists, there's questions now. Is it adrenal fatigue? Is it adrenal dysfunction? Whatever. I see an adrenal dysfunction. I see cortisol dysregulation on their test. And I say, you know what? I think that you would be helpful with this. I give them a diet plan. I give them a supplement plan. I give them an herbal plan. I give them a stress management plan. And I say, let's reassess this in 3 months. Not that I'm not going to see them for 3 months, because most of the time they really do need the support. And that's another piece that most functional doctors leave out. It's okay, just come back in 3 months and we'll redo the test or we'll redo whatever. But they, if you go back and you go, well, this got better on the test, but this didn't get changed at all, and this one actually got worse, then you have to reassess, and then you're starting again. You go back and redo your plan, right? The connection stays throughout, right? You don't ever lose the connect piece, but it's the first thing. But that reassess, and then you pop back to plan. So you might be in that stage of plan, remove the obstacles, go back, you know? And you find out that this person has this abusive husband who comes home at 2 a.m. every day and, you know, screams and yells. And even when he's away, they're waking up at 2 a.m. because their nervous system's wired for that. And there's all sorts of things and ways to question people to get at some of those deep underlying pieces. Okay. And we'll talk about a lot of that at Shine Online. So please do come. It's going to be great. Okay. So other questions, let's see. I'm going to go here and see what questions have typed in, but also raise your hand and I can answer them. Mary, you're on sleep. Good for you. Module 6. Finished. Who's Lori? Where's Lori? Where's Lori? Finished? Woohoo! You might get a prize. Finishing like in, there's only one other person I know finished faster than that. She just took a whole weekend and she like Friday, Saturday, Sunday finished the whole course. Good for you. Well, you can be on for teaching now. Work on your stuff. Work on your certification stuff so we can get you certified. Awesome. Congratulations. iPhone. Who's iPhone? Sharon. I've completed all the modules. Way to go, Sharon. You guys are good. Awesome. 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 I gave you the form. Daniela's coming. Karen, Janet, Marcy, Kate. Yiddish name for the person that is nervous. Hilalia. We make a comedy of it. It's all the same. Haha. So funny. Hilalia. Is that how you say that? That was Kate.
It's Hilalia. Nervous. Hilalia. It's like, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if that? And then I just turn around and say, we don't answer what if questions.
Good. I like that.
I make a joke. I mean, I use puppets. I do anything I can to crack that element where they absolutely are locked in.
And it's a comment. I don't mean to be like, you know, what's the word when you type, you know, stereotype or whatever, but my husband's family's Jewish. I see that a lot, the Jewish mother syndrome, they call it.
Yes.
What if this and what if that? And what if a tiger gets you as you're crossing the street and the alligator might you're going to Florida? There's alligators in Florida. What are you going to do if an alligator crosses your path? Right. So it's,
you know, it's not atypical of groups in the human race who have been persecuted.
Traumatized.
Very common. So it's one of there's just one interesting thing. After the Second World War, after the camps, the rise of alcoholism amongst Jews was 800%.
Yeah.
And the Jews were not particularly known for alcoholism. Interestingly enough, there was also a rise in migration of Jews to Buddhism of 800%, which was very interesting. One group meditated and kept quiet in order to forget. The other group drank. So the nervous hilalias came out of the 800% that drank.
Yeah.
Because what does alcohol do to the system? It exaggerates everything. It dilates the liver. The whole system is going, wah. Yeah. And so some of them became comics and some of them were violent.
Yeah, interesting.
So you know, you see these generationally, it follows all the way through. It's not like it happened in one generation and nobody else knows about it.
You know, it's interesting because there's this whole thing called family constellations. I don't know if anybody's familiar with it, where we don't just inherit the genes, we inherit the family dynamics, even if we're not aware of it, like you just said. I had an interesting thing when I went to one of these classes, and my sister, Kathy, some of you have heard me talk about her. She died of lymphoma when she was in her 40s. She was named after my father's sister, Kathy. Get goosebumps. Who died of lymphoma when she was 29. Like, that's like, okay, now I know in Judaism, it's common to name people after, you know, a revered dead relative, but be careful of that because of what it might be bearing in doing that, like carrying on. And, you know, I saw some amazing things happen in that kind of class, and I've seen people have major breakthroughs when you can get it. It's not just your past that gets wired in your nervous system. It's the family dynamic thing, right? And Kathy, you know, she knew of my aunt, but why was it that she took on that lymphoma and nobody else did? Was it the name? Was it that she felt, oh, my Aunt Kathy, I never got to meet her. And, you know, I don't know, right? She's my namesake. Don't know how much of it's conscious, how much of it's energetic, how much of it's subconscious. But it's really helpful when we can identify these patterns. But thank you for sharing that. Yeah, because it is a very common, and it makes sense. You know, if you come from a persecuted line, people are passing down that awareness, that hypervigilance, I like to call it, right? Got to be on guard.
Yeah.
And it really does take effort to let go of it. It takes a lot of effort. And that's where meditation, my husband's been meditating for the last few years, made all the difference in the world. Make all the difference in the world for his, because he has that. He has that tendency. Yeah. 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 You're welcome, Gail. Great. Okay, good. Can you repeat the five steps? So I'll repeat them again just to make sure. We have connect, we have assess, we have plan, remove the obstacles, reassess, and then you might go back to plan again. And I'll just give you a little extra goodie. If you're creating programs and packages for people who you want to sign up for, I highly recommend this rather than doing the one by one. You always have your last, whatever the length of time is, 3 months, 6 months, or if it's 6 months, you want to build it in at 3 months, a reassessment. That's what one of the offers. So you may have I'm going to offer you in this package a comprehensive assessment, and I'm going to go through all your stuff. I'm going to give you a lab assessment thing. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do a comprehensive reassessment. Because that's the place where you do that reassessment, whether it's labs or whether it's just talking, it doesn't matter. You still have to reassess. It's okay. What's your next steps? When you came in, you told me this was your goals. This is where you were at. This is where you are. And here's where your goals are. So in order to fill that gap, here's what I recommend for you. If it's someone you do want to continue working with, and believe me, there sometimes are people you don't want to continue working with. You say, you know, here's what I think needs to happen. We may need to, you know, run a thyroid test and rerun the adrenal test and blah, 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 and I'll focus on your digestion or chewing or whatever to get you to here, right? And I can offer you that in a 3 month follow-up program or a 6 week or whatever you're going to offer. Or you might say, look, you came all the way here. Let's just get you on maintenance. Let's just come back and see me once every 2 months. And let's just make sure you're staying on track, and then I can help you. Because you know what? People get off. They may be good for 3 months after they've finished a program with you, and then suddenly the pizza sneaks in, and the beer sneaks in, and the M&Ms sneak in, and they think it's just a little bit. And the next thing you know, they're calling you back a year and a half later saying, I need help. I'm back where I started. Right? And so I explain to people what I think they need, not based on what I think they want to hear, but what I think they need. Right. And if you're not going to work with me to continue this support, that's fine. But I still think you need every other week or once a month to check in with somebody to get some fine tuning. So that's it. And, you know, you're there. And if you had a good relationship, if you don't want to continue to work with them, it's kind of rude to say, I don't like you. I don't want to work with you. But sometimes they're whiners and complainers. Sometimes they're people who you're not going to really be able to help them because they just want you to do it for them, right? They're just expecting you to wave your magic wand and they're going to be better. And that's where I really think that you would work best with, you know, somebody down the street. Or here's a list of things that I think you need to do over the next 6 months. And you make that comprehensive list that most of us, when we don't know better, give them on the first visit. Like I was saying to you earlier, this person that I used to do this, somebody would come up to see me and I would prepare all this stuff. And the next visit, I would give them a 2 or 3 page list of all the things that they needed to do and the things they needed to eat and the supplements they needed to take. And they would look at it and go, okay, thank you. Bye. So that's another way to very gently give people what they need at the end of working with them if you don't want really to continue with them. So I was working with somebody who was, and she was diabetic, and she was referred from a friend, and she came in and we talked about stuff. And I signed her up for a 4-week program. It's my first time doing one of these 4-week programs. I usually would just give one by one by one. And I told her what I needed her to do. So she was one of these whiner and complainers, came back after the second visit and said, "I don't know, I'm following your program and nothing's happening. My blood sugars are still high and I'm still feeling," I'm like, "Oh, well, tell me more. You know, tell me about that." "Well, I'm drinking that green shake you told me to drink in the morning." "Great, awesome, congratulations." "And then, well, in the afternoon I work and I'm delivering stuff. So, you know, I'll stop at Chick-fil-A and get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And then blah, 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 blah. And then I'll eat a salad at night." I'm like, "I'm just going to stop you right there. Chick-fil-A sandwiches were not on the list. You're not really following my program. You're following your own version of my program. But I can't guarantee you're going to get results with the Chick-fil-A sandwiches." So that's the kind of thing you deal with. And I don't work with people who just expect they're going to do some of what I teach, but not all of it, right? I don't have a problem with gluten. You know, I don't get sick to my stomach or have diarrhea after I eat it. So why do I have to give it up? Maybe you don't. But at this point, the people that have had the success in working through healing their Hashimoto's or whatever have given up gluten. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe in your case, you don't have to, but right now, let's just give it a try. And if they're unwilling to give up their cigarettes or give up their alcohol or give up their Coke or give up their sandwiches, like, I don't have anything in my bag of tricks to help you, but I think somebody else might be able to. And I'll just refer them out because it's not what I want to do, right? I'm not here to convince them. Lori. You had your hand up and so did Leah, so go for it.
Yes. Okay. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, how can we better support someone who has hyperprolactinemia and not bad insulin issues, but
So hyperprolactinemia, have you determined, have they done testing to see if it's a pituitary adenoma?
It's not.
It's not. Okay.
There's been multiple follow-up to confirm that it's definitely not.
And have they done other pituitary hormones to make sure, you know, do they have excessive growth hormone? Do they have any other, you know, excessive ACTH?
No. That's a good idea then.
ACTH, yeah. It's a good idea to test the others to see if there's a dysfunction. It doesn't have to be an adenoma, but some dysfunction on the pituitary level. Are they taking any hormones? Are they taking any estrogen birth control pills? Have they had birth control pills in the past?
No.
Okay, because low progesterone can contribute to high prolactin. So I would look at that. What I would do, if it's, you know, it's like, okay, I would look at a comprehensive, I would look at a Dutch test.
Yeah, that's on the way.
And I would get there, you know, really work on their insulin resistance pieces because you never know, right? You always have to work on things, even if you can't say this is a direct correlation.
Right.
Okay, get their digestion working, get their blood sugar balanced, right? Get them in a de-stress mode, right? I don't know of a specific connection between thyroid hormone and that, but I would do a complete thyroid panel. I would do comprehensive hormones to see what else might be out of balance, because everything affects everything.
Because the interesting thing is that seems to be what set off the blood sugar being a little bit unmanaged at the moment. Because prior to this hyperprolactinemia, it was like perfect.
So did she have, so when you say prior to this, so there was a time when her prolactin was checked and it was fine, and another time when it was...
No, I take that back. Okay, so there was a time when her blood sugars had been followed for a very long time. The HbA1c, the fasting glucose, and even like after meals and stuff. And it was beautiful. But then suddenly it wasn't. And it's like tracing and trying to dive deeper and to see like what...
To see what might have caused it. And when you say it was...
Prolactin... Sorry, go ahead.
When you say it was beautiful after meals, like on a medical basis, it's 2 hours after meal. It was this, like with a continuous or.
Yeah, it was in the golden zone. And then it's
But I want to be clear. And the reason I'm being picky here is because we hear this a lot. The doctor tested my postprandial and it was fine.
No, it's in the 70 to 110 zone.
Right. But postprandial.
Postprandial is going back to the baseline, like into the.
In 2 hours. Below. But what happens in between?
Now or then?
What's the peak? What was the peak then? They probably don't know. I had perfect postprandials 2 hours, perfect fasting, but my peaks were going to 160. Coming back down by 2 hours, but going to 160, right? That's a problem. So it may have been
right.
A1C. Has it been in the 5.1, or has it been higher than that?
It was in that range or lower.
It was. Okay. Yeah. So that I'm saying this, I'm not doubting. I'm just saying these are the kinds of questions we have to make sure we ask, because when you go from the medical model of testing to the functional model of testing, they miss things.
Yeah. I'm definitely
going on applying, for a long time.
I'm applying the functional ranges.
Okay. Functional ranges, but also functional timing. That's what I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. The previous isn't as crystal clear as now, which is using a continuous glucose monitor.
Right. So now she's using a continuous and she knows.
And it's visible, but it's even before the continuous glucose monitor, the fasting glucose went up. Everything had suddenly changed. And it was no real explanation. The diet didn't change. Exercise
pregnancy?
Didn't change.
Was she pregnant?
No pregnancy,
no nursing, no miscarriages.
No, but head trauma, which is maybe the relationship with the hyperprolactinemia, but we don't know.
Head trauma can be very, very, head trauma causes all sorts of stuff. And one of the things that they're treating head trauma with these days is progesterone. Hmm. And low progesterone can contribute to high prolactin.
Okay.
So head trauma is a critical piece. And that's great that you point that out, because we always want to go back to, when was it good? When was the last time it was good? What happened in that year or so before? You know, was it a trauma? Was there abuse? Was there mold exposure? Was there, you know, potential to viral, like an EBV type of thing, or a reactivation of CMG or CMV or EBV or something like that? Yeah. Right. But I would do the complete look at the pituitary. If it's a head trauma, it could have actually caused some trauma to the pituitary, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Which is very likely.
Yeah. Even if it's just swelling in, you know, the little, what do they call that thing that surrounds where it sits in that little, I'm not good with remembering those names from way back when, but there's this little thing that the pituitary sits in. I don't remember people's names sometimes. So
the hammock.
I know the dynamics. I know how things work. I can tell you the route to get from here to there, but can I name all those streets along the way? No, I'm just going to go left, right, left, right, left, right, get there. Yeah. But that's an important piece. I assume if they ruled out adenoma, that they did an MRI or a CT scan or something head. Yeah.
Okay.
Did they do a contrast for
this? Yes. And the interesting thing is that the contrast caused hives, immediate hives and reactions.
Yeah, that's the problem with contrast stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it caused hives. Usually there is some kind of radio-labeled iodine. Maybe she has an iodine sensitivity, which would make me actually look at, I would do a comprehensive thyroid panel as well and make sure all that's looking good.
Okay.
Okay, so Dutch and that will give you a really comprehensive hormone. Okay.
And then I have another client that I had a question about. Mm-hmm. For somebody that I've been using since I've studied all of this, I just went straight to only using continuous glucose monitors, and they're amazing. Much better information. And so I've been using a continuous glucose monitor with someone, and I notice, like, well, I find it interesting that you can see so much data all day long. So now I'm wanting to know more about, like, what should it look like at every minute of the day? What should it look like through the night? And I had one client who was basically, I was calling it like peaks and valleys. It's all day long, up, down, up, down, up, down, like constant little, like, I was like, your blood sugar looks like the Alps. And I was imagining we want it to look more like the ocean. But if you're looking at a continuous glucose monitor, do you have something specific, some specifics that you look for?
Yeah, well, I look for peak. You know, somebody needs to mute.
I think it's Terry Lynch.
Oh, Terry. Okay, mute. Okay. Yeah, so you're looking for, and it might be little ups and downs. It's not going to be perfect. I do mine and I see, you know, oh, it was 79. Oh, I just got up and, you know, ran up the stairs and now it's 87. And, you know, so it's up and down. And then after the meal, you know, you'll see it climb, right? But it may be climbing in little, you know, and then it peaks and then it comes back down. So we're looking for how high is the peak? How long does it take to peak and then come back down? And how consistent is it when they're not doing anything?
Right.
Overnight, it drops.
Yeah. Yeah, when they're not doing anything, having it go up and down and up and down and up and down on
it. If it's significant, is it more than 1 or 2 points? Is it, you know, big?
Oh, yeah. It's like 10 points.
Yeah.
All night, all day, pretty much. Like 10 to 20 points all day long.
I'd ask them a lot about their stress levels.
Yeah.
Their exposures. Right? Maybe one room in their house is ridden with mold or has a lot of EMFs. Right. And when they go in that room, it goes up. And then when they come back out, it's down.
Right.
So I'm going to move on because we're going to run out of time. And I know that Leah had a question. And okay. What would you want as a flyer, Leah? Unmute.
The yoga, eating.
The yoga of eating?
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
I just pulled it out of my head.
I know.
It was 8 years ago. That would be fun to make.
Yeah, so many clients that actually I have two yoga friends, you know?
In our digestion, in our CMDS thing, and I think we give it in Body Balance as well. I have this thing, I think I have it in, I have it in Sweet Spot, which is, and it's in the Sweet Spot, the old Sweet Spot, last year's Sweet Spot, in the nutrition part, there's a thing about and digestion enhancing strategies.
Oh gosh, I can't remember that. I'll have to.
But that has kind of a summary of all this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the couple of questions I had, sorry, was one, how many more of these IRSPT calls do we have? Is it one more?
There was 9 total. There were 9 total. So it goes through July.
We're at number 5 right now.
We're number 5. So we have 4 more after this.
Okay, great. Just because of the time difference, I'm really looking forward to the weekend, although it's a shame really, because the 23andMe hasn't come through. Can you believe it's taken 2 weeks to arrive? So mine isn't going to be back, but I'm still going to send it away.
No, anyway. Yeah, I've given you guys, you got the email that I gave you a page and I gave you all my sample reports. So you can use those, make a lot of notes, and then you'll be able to apply it to you.
But because of the time difference, I know it will be videoed. Am I right in thinking, because I'd applied, done the VIP, that I will get them recorded and I can keep them? Is that what you said?
Yeah. You'll get the recording. You guys get the recording. Yeah.
But they won't disappear after 2 weeks or something. What I meant was...
No, if you pay to get that... Well, no, you guys got the recordings, right? So I think that, you guys will get the recordings.
Well, I think because I paid for the VIP in October, I think it said I would get the recordings of this as well. Anyway, is that right?
Or was it the I don't remember. But whatever, if you got the VIP, then you do it. You got it.
Okay. And this is completely off the cuff, but because I love the way you explain things... for many years, and I've realized this now, is that although I have a life, obviously, you know, I'm a mom and I do lots of things, people often will just ring me out of the blue and just start tapping me for information, which is fine.
You know, friends or acquaintances or family members?
Everyone.
All right. So you stop them. Yeah. You've got to put it into that. Oh, those are great questions. Let's set you up for a consultation to see how I can support you in your health questions.
Well, I think because I've not set those boundaries, the other day it became so apparent to me that this lovely friend of mine, I mean, I love her to pieces, but every single time she speaks to me, she doesn't even give me the time of day of how are you or whatever. She launches straight in with, and guess what I've got now? And I've got this and I've got that and I've been to them.
And you can stop her. You got to put an end to it. So sometimes it doesn't feel good, but you've got to put an end to it. Say, Mary Lou, I love speaking to you, but here's the deal. This is my profession and I would love to support you in that. It's not a quick answer. There's not like, I really would need to do a comprehensive health history with you, possibly run some tests, and then I can give you some answers. And here's my link to sign up for that. Or here's how you sign up for that. Yeah, it's a boundary issue. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
It's a boundary issue.
Yeah, because otherwise I don't feel that I'm anybody else other than just talking to people about nutrition.
No, yeah. They wouldn't call the plumber in to fix their toilet.
No, exactly.
Just because your friend's a plumber. You pay him. Right. Yeah, it's a good point because we're in this because we love people and we want to help, but it's our profession.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a conversation with you about stuff, but this is, you know, I can't do it. That's what I always say. You know, that's a great question, but I need a complete history to get that. And I've had people ask that, like, on, let's say they're on the Unstoppable Health Facebook group. And they'll give me this whole, like, and I'll go, wow, that's great. And I need a complete history before I can answer that because I don't know enough. And quite frankly, this isn't the forum, but if you want to sign up for a thing, you can talk to one of my coaches and do that.
I just wondered if anyone else struggled with that because it just came so apparent, particularly in lockdown, because obviously people are just ringing.
Yeah. And it's one thing to give a little bit of support, you know, and maybe if you have a bunch of this is a good idea. If you have a bunch of those folks, you tell your friends, I just set up one of these Zoom accounts and I have so many of my friends asking me for support in getting through this COVID and this lockdown and immune system. I decided to do a little group call and a webinar on some things you can do to support yourself. And at the end you say, hey, if anybody really wants to work with me, I can help you. Let's talk about it and we'll get you signed up. And you make it really clear.
Yeah.
My friends don't do that anymore.
No.
They used to, but they don't anymore. It was hard. I had to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I think it's almost time for my stay in the sweet spot call. Anything else that I missed? Someone who's psychotherapist, I got to be disappointed as I kept measuring my warning. Fasting blood sugar is around 110 after 1 hour, up to 124. It was consistent, a warning that might affect this. Okay, so I'm also, this is where I have a hard time, is reading long histories in a chat. So
can we pivot really quick to just one quick question?
Yeah.
Jenny.
Yeah, is that you, Jenny?
I was just curious, if you could speak to cholesterol. My doctor won't give me labs. She wants to know what my cholesterol is, and I haven't heard you speak about that. So I know we have 2 minutes, so I'm just curious.
Well, cholesterol, you know, there's a lot to cholesterol. What does that mean? Do you have elevated cholesterol? Do you have low cholesterol? Are your ratios LDL, HDL out of balance? Do you have triglyceride? HDL is very connected to it. High cholesterol might imply, given, you know, a good diet lifestyle, might imply a thyroid issue. So
my question is more just I haven't heard it mentioned in the program before. So I'm just curious.
Well, because it's not, okay. It's not a direct, right? Yes, blood sugar imbalances can create lipid imbalances.
Okay.
And can affect the lining of the blood vessels. High insulin can stiffen, which could cause, if the cholesterol is elevated, more inflammation in the vessels. So C-reactive protein is way more important to look at. Triglyceride HDL ratio, which we do mention. And then if you have somebody with a persistent issue and you see some red flags, an advanced lipid panel to find out what's going on.
Okay.
Some people have hypercholesterolemia and it's genetic, but they're doing everything right, but they don't have any signs of inflammation. They don't have elevated homocysteine. When you look at the ratios, they don't have the large buoyance instead of the small dense particles. So they're in a much better position, but it's a much more complicated. And we do that in our NEPT program, whole thing on cardiovascular, where we go through the whole process with that.
Okay. I was just curious because I realized, I haven't heard it brought up and I just wasn't sure what the connection between blood sugar and cholesterol was. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Dr. Rita Marie.
Yes.
Sorry, I had my hand up from the beginning.
Melanie.
Where do I put the questions then? Because you don't have time.
I'll put it in here. I just put a link in earlier. Whoops.
And I've lost my chat room. I don't know how to, I have the pictures up and I can't get the...
Click chat, Melanie, right? I'm just going to put in the public, everyone. There's a link and we'll make sure that that's in the reminder emails and that'll go out.
There's no chat anymore. I don't see it, but I'll...
My chat is up, so I think it's just, it got hidden somehow for you, Melanie.
Along the bottom, chat, click chat.
Well, they all condensed into just the photos, like the main page with all of the icons on the bottom left.
At the top, click exit full screen mode and you'll see it. And there's also, sometimes it pulls it separately, but I do have to go to the other call.
Yeah.
But use that link, we'll make sure that it goes
out. Also ask on the INE.
It'll actually shut off and I won't get it.
Ask your question on the INE Facebook group. Right. Yeah, right. Because there's a lot of folks out there who've already certified and they can probably maybe answer your question.
On the sweet spot, sorry?
On the INE, the INE Facebook page.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody. Thank you.
Have a great day.